Pilgrim was I in the wandering, in the cold night of sin I did roam. Then Jesus, the kind shepherd, found me, and now I am on my way home. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever, and will sit at the table spread for me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Let's talk about Jesus, the King of kings is he, the Lord of lords supreme, oh blessed eternity. The great I am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. And perhaps, hopefully, you'll see the attachment of those songs as we move along. In Ephesians, the 4th chapter and the 15th verse, it talks about us growing up to Jesus. And I've been exploring the verses in Galatians, that we'll get to in class eventually, about the fruits of the Spirit. We might read those again. By the way, if I'm a little slow today, maybe a little slow every day, who knows. If I'm a little slow today, I don't have my right hand today. It's gone. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The thing that we've been talking about is trying to pick out one of these fruits of the Spirit, and if Jesus is truly our example, he should have these in evidence in an abundance above what we would naturally see anywhere else. So we're going to talk about one of these today. And what we're going to talk about is goodness. Now, I would challenge you to define goodness. It's an idea we have a sort of a concept about, but try sitting down and writing a definition of goodness. The dictionaries have trouble doing it as well. I think it's one of these words that we just use. We assume you know what I think when I use it, and I know what you think when you use it, but do we really know what we think about what goodness is? And what this goodness is, that is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus had it. We know that because he had the Spirit without measure. So he had it. And so we know it's available, and we know it's discernible and observable, right? So we need to talk about it. You know, good is one of those words that can lose its impact over time. If you see something that's really impressing to you, you say, wow, that was good. Or do you say, that was fantastic, that was marvelous, that was super. And any other word you can come up with, good is kind of a blah, it's good, but didn't quite get there. It's one of those words that's become. And it's a word that changes depending upon what you're talking about. Chocolate, I always get chocolate in there. Chocolate is good. Lynette doesn't like chocolate. What a weird person. Chocolate is good. But do you like all chocolate? Do you like milk chocolate? Do you like dark chocolate? Do you like bitter chocolate? Is all chocolate good? Good compared to what? Now, pineapple. Many people like pineapple. Margaret loves pineapple. I don't think I would ever use the word good as anything involved with pineapple. That's a definition for me. What about a heavy coat? Is a heavy coat, wearing a heavy coat, is that good? Or is that bad? Well, I don't know. Is there snow on the ground? Is it cold? Or is it 90 in the middle of summer in Iowa? One way it'd be extremely comfortable. Another way, be extremely uncomfortable. So is it good or isn't it good? A heavy coat, is it good or isn't it good? Even things not so concrete like love. Is love good or is love not good? Well, I don't know. Tell me what you're loving, right? Tell me what you're loving. And then I'll tell you if it might be good or it might not be good. Tell me the extent you're loving. Then I'll tell you how much of it is good and how much of it isn't. We have in our language, we have good. And then, if that wasn't quite good enough, we have better. And then if that wasn't quite good enough, we have best, right? We have best. All comparative words. In fact, the Bible tends to use the word, and try pronouncing these in a hurry, it's good, or it's goodlier, or it's goodliest, rather than better or best. But they're adjectives. They're used to describe something. But what we see here, and what we sang about in our song, is not an adjective. It's a noun. It's something. It's not describing something else. It's something. Goodness. And when you think about it that way, it becomes much more difficult to talk about. All societies have a concept of right and wrong, some very odd to us. But they all have some concept of right and wrong, of good and bad. I was going to read you, because I got curious just of exactly what Webster was going to do with this. So I actually brought my ancient dictionary with me. Goodness, excellence, or virtue. Now, come on. That didn't get me anywhere. So I went up to good. So sufficient or satisfactory for its purpose. This is so small, I can barely read it. In excess, ample, full, considerable, not insignificant, like a good deal or a good share. Possessing attractive qualities, as good men, stout-hearted, kind, well-behaved, agreeable, pleasant, adapted to a useful end, beneficial as good advice, proper, virtuous, of a reliable character, of comparative excellence in his kind, admirable, honorable, untainted. I'm still not getting there. I still don't have any feeling of what goodness in and of itself means. Goodness. So if we go back to Galatians, we find that he uses the word the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit, giving an analogy of trees. A good fruit tree and a bad fruit tree. A good fruit tree does what? Has good fruit, right? Does a good fruit tree wake up in the morning and say, I wonder if I should make good fruit today or bad fruit? No, it's a good tree. It just makes good fruit. That's what it does. That's what a good fruit tree does. And a bad fruit tree, to just wake up in the morning and says, I think I'll make bad fruit today. No, that's just what it does. That's just what it does. So I would like for us to think about this morning of this term goodness as to be by nature good. I'm not talking about nature out there that makes the leaves grow and that kind of stuff. By your natural inclinations, to be by nature good. We're not talking about I'm trying to be good. We're not talking about I decided to be good. We're talking about by nature I become good. That's what he's talking about in goodness. So what's that look like? What does that look like? Well, first of all, if I'm looking at someone and they are constantly appreciating the goodness of God, the goodness of Christ, the goodness of the Holy Spirit, naturally, not trying to, just naturally. So as I go through my day, I think as this Holy Spirit gift of goodness comes, I naturally appreciate, I think about, I let it influence me, the goodness of God, the goodness of Christ, and the goodness that the Holy Spirit continues to give us. In Exodus, when Moses was writing the tables, the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Psalms 52 and 1 says that the goodness of God endures forever. And 65 and 4 says it's satisfying. Romans, the second chapter, verse 4, talks about leading us to repentance. Despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Did Jesus naturally exude an appreciation of the goodness of God? If you were around Jesus for very long, would you have any doubt that he appreciated God the Father? He appreciated the power of the Holy Spirit. He appreciated the Godhead. Do you have any doubt that you might have missed that? It's like being around somebody that's in love, you know, early love. Late love. Depends on what we're talking about. They're really love. You don't have to wonder very long if they really care for the other person. Do you? Really. Usually it's more like getting a pizza cutter to get them apart. You know? You don't have to wonder. They'll show you in all kinds of ways. And just since I said that, three husbands have put their arms around their wives here. Hurry up, Mike. You're behind. You know, it naturally exudes from Jesus that he appreciates God. And as we get more and more of this gift of the Spirit, this gift called goodness, it will become obvious that God, the source of all goodness, is appreciated by us. It will become obvious in how we act, what we consider important, and all other aspects of our lives. That's why Psalms, the 23rd chapter, is so revered throughout the religious world. Because it talks about an appreciation of God and what he's done for us. So, Jesus exuded God. There was no doubt when you saw Jesus that he appreciated God. He went out of his way to tell others of his appreciation of God. And as we receive more and more of the Spirit, this fruit of the Spirit called goodness, we will display the goodness of God naturally. Naturally. Isn't it fun to do something naturally? I remember when we used to play, basketball. There are certain things that just come natural to some people. And there are certain things that you couldn't train them to do that if you worked 100 years. Now, you guys and gals, when you were in school, if you can remember back with me that long, how many of you could shoot a left-handed layup right? Correctly, not right, correctly. Some people just, they weren't wired that way. They just weren't wired that way. And most of the time, I feel like we feel like we're just not wired to be good before God. See, through the Spirit. Through the Spirit makes it so that we can be good naturally. Not this huge effort to strain and control myself, put my self-determination and self-control and pull it. No, just naturally. Appreciate God. That's what the fruit of the Spirit will do for us when it comes to goodness. How else could I recognize this? Well, someone who appreciates the good around them. Maybe harder for some of us with white ground this morning, but appreciates the good around them. Appreciates the complexity and how it all works together. God looked at his creation and said it was very good. Very good. Hadn't be the only one, so it was better and best too. But he looked at his creation and said, it's very good. Doesn't tell us what he thought of it after he let the weeds go. But it was very good to start with. Having trouble reading my own writing, even worse than normal, sorry. In Malachi, the third chapter, verse 10, he's talking to the Jews, God, and he says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive it. That's us. Do you hear what he's just talking about? Pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. That's storage lockers. Right? That's those places where you rent a space and you store your stuff that you got too much stuff to get in your house and your garage and your barn. That's what that is. Give you a blessing that you are not able to receive it. Psalms 33 and 5 said the earth is full of his goodness. So I think someone who has the Holy Spirit with a growing appreciation and gift of the Holy Spirit in the form of goodness has an appreciation of the beauty and complexity of creation. But we're supposed to be talking about Jesus. Jesus have an appreciation of the creation? He should. He made it. He should. He made it. Not very often does he talk about it. Okay? But he made it. In Colossians it talks about he made all things that were made. Jesus made it. And so maybe it says a bit different when he talks about moving mountains around, etc. This is the Creator talking. But he certainly appreciated it. Maybe he doesn't talk so much about it because he'd been to heaven. And as good as a creation might be, it's nothing compared to heaven. So if I look for someone that has the gift of the Spirit, goodness, I see someone who's very, very appreciative of the things they've been blessed with. Less emphasis on problems, less emphasis on things I want and don't have, more emphasis on things I have. That's what I see. That's goodness exuding from them. I don't have to try and do that. You might have to try to start. But this needs to be natural. You need to get up in the morning and not see the snow and say, yuck. Or you need to get up in the morning and see the birds. The flowers are still trying to bloom right in the middle of a snowstorm. Not much of a storm, but snow. It's always good out there to see. But how easy is it to not do it just naturally? If we will let the Spirit help us and accept this gift of the Spirit, he will help us see the good all around us. He will help us see that. And I think as I observe someone, I will see them appreciative and joyful about what God has given them. More and more and more. What else would I expect to find in someone who has the fruit of the Spirit called goodness? I think that person is going to see the good or potential good in everyone. In everyone. Oddly enough, Leviticus is where I found love thy neighbor as thyself. One of the earliest places. Luke talks about loving others. Peter talks about honoring all men. 1 Timothy talks about God being willing that all be saved. And Thessalonians talks about may your love increase and abound over and over and over. Is that something that I get by trying? Well, that has an impact. But what if I let the Spirit work and it gives me that? If I look at you and I see someone who sees the good in other people, even in his heart, sees the potential good in other people, is less critical of other people, then I see the fruit of the Spirit work. I see goodness. That's what goodness is. I see goodness. And Jesus certainly did that with us and God as well. John, the 8th chapter, it's a very interesting story that we've talked about before. Jesus went into the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. Now, in the very act, guilty. We have that phrase, guilty as sin. Sin. Guilty. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. What do you say? This they said, tent to him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down with his finger, wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said to them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even to the last. Jesus was left alone, and a woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Apparently saw potential in this lady. Apparently loved this lady. Apparently loved her soul. Think of what he could have done. Think of how critical he could have been. Think of how condemning he could have been. Scary he could have been. Mean he could have been. He wasn't. Saw good in others. Doesn't mean that he didn't see evil or bad when it was there. He called it out when it was there. But we need to find good in people. Wish good for people. Be less critical. Naturally. And that is hard. We are a critical people. We're taught at a very young age to be critical. You're a young child. Your mother or father handed you the cookie that you'd never seen before, different kind. Said, you like that? Didn't even try it yet. Okay, I'll try it. You like it? I like chocolate chip better. Yeah, but do you like that? We're trained to think critically about everything. About everything. The Spirit, in a sense of goodness, helps us to look for goodness and find goodness in other people. And be less critical and more supportive. Less critical and more supportive. And the last way that I had down that I could recognize the goodness that is the fruit of the Spirit given to Christians in an increasing volume is when I see someone who appreciates the good in themselves and knows where it came from. Someone who appreciates the good in themselves and knows where it came from. We all know we're sinners. We are. We need to remind ourselves of that because that makes us appreciate the sacrifice even more. Wouldn't be much appreciation if we weren't sinners, would there? Wouldn't need it. We all know that. But we need to appreciate the goodness in ourselves as well. Because to not appreciate the goodness in ourselves is deny that Jesus can work in me. Deny that the Holy Spirit can give me goodness as a fruit of the Spirit. Deny that it had any impact on me, that I'm any different than I was 10 years ago. I don't think we want to do that. 1 John says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Maybe one of the most impactful and concise verses we have. But if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Just once in a while, I need to allow myself to be clean. To not emphasize to myself 100% of the time that I am a sinner and I'm bad. And I need God, and I need Jesus. I know those things, and they're true, absolutely true. But it's also absolutely true that Jesus is cleaning me and you. And don't you think it would be appropriate to feel clean once in a while? Don't you think to not feel clean once in a while kind of de-emphasizes what he did for us? You think it's okay to feel good about yourself? In the right perspective? I want you to listen and tell me if in normal circumstances you wouldn't call this a bit of bragging. Now, this is the same guy in Romans talks about having himself divided. This is Paul who talks about in Romans that he finds himself not doing what he wants to do and doing what he doesn't want to do and wretched man that he is. And that is all true. But this is also true. We then as workers together with him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Giving no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, I was really patient, in much affliction, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, I was pure, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the arm of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well-known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. Pretty sharp fellow. He's doing quite a bit of good there, isn't he? He's recognizing he did quite a bit of good with God's help. But he's allowing himself to feel clean. Allowing himself to feel clean. Did Jesus appreciate himself? Did Jesus appreciate himself? Let me make it cleaner. Does Jesus like himself? What was there not to like? Now, anybody else say that, you would say there's an ego problem here. Okay? Because we all have things that aren't to like occasionally. But Jesus, did he like himself? There was nothing to dislike. He was the definition of goodness. And so he exuded goodness and couldn't help it. It was all natural. All natural. He was glad about who he was. Do we express a rejoicing in ourselves, a gladness about ourselves, a happiness about ourselves because of what Jesus did for us? Do we express that? I'm glad I'm me. I'm glad of what's happened to me. I'm glad I have Jesus. Do we express that? It's me. It's okay to do that. That's not a lack of humility. That's a recognition that the Spirit can work in me. And I can be good. So goodness, one of those words that kind of sits out there and we don't really know what it means. Except we do know that Jesus was it. Jesus was it. If Jesus did it, if Jesus said it, it was good. It was good. Wonder what it was like. Wonder what it was like to sit around the fire eating fish with Jesus, even before he was resurrected. Wonder what it was like to walk beside Jesus. I think there are many things we don't understand about this universe, way more than we understand. There's a thing that we describe as an aura. Someone has an aura of power, or someone has an aura of whatever. What would you feel standing next to Jesus? And I think all the emotions come in. I'm scared, but I want to hug him. I'm scared by what he intimidates me, but he welcomes me and makes me feel welcome. All those diverse things. Guess we'll find out. Guess we'll find out. One of the fruits of the Spirit is goodness. And I think that we can take comfort and empowerment from the fact that as we continue to try to live for God, the fruit of the Spirit will naturally, not that you aren't trying, but you can't take credit for this, will naturally make you appreciate God more, make you appreciate your blessings more because they came from Him, make you appreciate one another more, and make you appreciate yourself more. I think it'll just happen. It'll just happen. I don't think it requires a great deal of effort on my part. I think as long as I make myself available, the Spirit works with me, I want the Spirit to work with me, then I will become, here it is, gooder. I will experience more and more of God's goodness in my life. Until finally at the end I can experience all of God's goodness in my life in heaven. That'll be our lesson for this morning. If you would like to feel good, if you would like to be good, if you would like to be called good by God in eternity, we offer the opportunity as we stand and sing the closing song.